Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by the Iron Gym at 14548 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California. That number to the Iron Gym, 818-322-4627. I am your host, Steve Kim, joined from the Golden Gate City of San Francisco, my partner in crime, Gabriel Montoya. Mr. Montoya, good Monday to you.
Good Monday to you, sir. This is a very special Monday. We not just that it's episode 528, but who would have thought that on that episode we'd be putting this fight to rest after all this time? So much to get to, so many calls. A lot of the switchboard's already lighting up. Let's do it.
You know, cue up the Bengals because this will be a manic Monday. And if you want to call in, we'll take your calls in about 15 to 20 minutes. Those digits, 347-215-7598. If you have a question via Twitter, you could do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. And ladies and gentlemen, let's get started with round number one. It's the fight from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, as HBO said, at last. For the WBA, WBC, and WBO welterweight titles of the world, Floyd Mayweather takes on Manny Pacquiao. Gabe, I have to admit, it is surreal just being able to say that and just say, hey, Gabe, we're 6 days away from this saga being over.
We're really like, well, hopefully we're 6 days away from it. Hopefully it's not the kind of decision, the kind of fight where we end up arguing about it for all time, you know, like a Leonard or a Hagler kind of situation where it's like, well, or Meldrick Taylor Chavez situation where you're like, well, but if they let it go, you know, one of those. Hopefully it lives up to the hype, lives up to all the buildup, and that this becomes truly a fight where you can say Styles did, in fact, make the fight.
One of the concerns that I have is that so much is being made over the financial aspect of this promotion. I mean, as I said before, guys are doing their version of Darren Rovell breathlessly reporting on some of the figures. Hey, guys, how about putting a little bit of the onus on the fighters to actually give us a fight? Now, during my time on the beat, Gabe, which is like right around mid-90s to the current time, so it's almost 20 years, a lot of these fight of the centuries are ended up being duds, whether it was Trinidad De La Hoya, whether it was De La Hoya Mayweather. Very few of these events have actually lived up to the billing. In your opinion, given the fact maybe both guys have lost a little bit off their fastball. One guy, Mayweather, is 38. The other guy is 36. There's an old adage. When great fighters lose their reflexes and their quickness and they're matched against each other, but they still had a relatively high level of offensive firepower, it makes for better fights than it perhaps would have been in their physical prime. Do you think that dynamic exists here, Gabe?
You know, I do a little bit, but here's the thing is that, you know, like say, let's look at Pacquiao Marquez and that those four fights. Both those guys already had an aggressive mentality. So as they slowed down and they went after each other more and more in those fights, they were going at it in the first fight, but the fights got a little more dangerous, a little more, you know, Marquez was pretty beat up when he knocked out Pacquiao in that final fight. So I think that their aggression showed a little more as their reflexes dulled. In this fight, you know, while Floyd's reflexes have dulled a little bit, I was watching the Maidana fights. You could see he gets touched a little bit more than he wants to. Ortiz is able to do that. But the mentality remains the same. Floyd is always trying to get it back to control, get it back to a slow-paced fight where he can kind of maneuver you to the ropes or into the corners where he's comfortable kind of getting you to a position so that he can maybe fire a shot or make you miss and get out of there. In Pacquiao's case, he's slowed down. The aggression's the same, but the holes, I think, are getting bigger and bigger. He minds things a little bit better than he did since the knockout, but it's hard to tell with that opposition. I think that was the toughest part of breaking down the tape. Both guys have been match-made so carefully over the years, it's hard to tell what they really have left.
Here's a factor. The last knockout, without an asterisk, for Floyd Mayweather took place in 2007. That was eight fights ago, stopping Ricky Hatton in 10. And for Manny Pacquiao, his last knockout took place in November of 2009 when he stopped Miguel Cotto in 12. That was nine fights ago. So, Gabe, with those factors in play, and again, a lot of variables, this is boxing, styles make fights, also trajectory of career, is it more likely that we will have a distance fight than a stoppage?
I think so. Although, you know, I mean, Pacquiao is prone to getting hit with the right hand. I think he has a tendency to leave himself a little bit open. His right jab, and this will be a fight of a southpaw versus an orthodox fighter. They'll be fighting to get that lead foot dominance. Pacquiao will want his lead foot out on the outside of Floyd's, and Floyd will want likewise. But I think, you know, Manny has kind of a weak jab. He has a tendency to keep his hands a little bit low. And when he throws the jab, he brings it back a little bit low. And also when he throws his money punch, the straight left, which I think can do some damage in this fight, he has a tendency to leave that right side open. Floyd Mayweather is brilliant with the check hook, where he can check you with that hook while spinning out. I think that's going to be a big weapon. And I think if a knockout's going to happen, even though Pacquiao's the one billed as the power puncher here, I think it's Floyd knocking Manny out, not the other way around.
Gabe, hello?
We seem to have lost Steve here. I'm not sure. A little bit of a internet wrinkle here. I'm not sure. We'll see if we can get him back in just a second here. Sorry about that, folks. As we're breaking down Mayweather-Pacquiao, the lines are filling up. Let me just keep an eye out for where Steve is. Just 1 second, folks, and just bear with us. I think I've got him back. Steve, are you there?
Gabe, yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that. I pushed a button that I shouldn't have. Gabe, I think it's very simple. For Floyd Mayweather to win this fight, he has to be Floyd Mayweather. And for Manny Pacquiao to win this fight, I think he has to take him out of his comfort zone. From a strategic standpoint, I don't think there's any doubt. Two things. Number one, I think Manny has to win early rounds. Because if he's down 4-2, 5-1 after six, Gabe, this becomes Dean Smith in North Carolina. This becomes a situation where he's going to play chase, where one guy might be playing his own version of the four corners, and it's very difficult to chase Mayweather down once he realizes I'm in the comfort zone and I don't have to take a lot of risk. And at that point, that leaves Manny Pacquiao in a situation where you know he has to come forward. And second of all, I don't know what Freddie Roach has been doing in the gym. Freddie's been very tight-lipped about this. He's gone all Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. There's been very little footage. I think anyone that actually has seen the real training has not said a word. I think less than six or seven people have actually gotten a glimpse of what's going on at the wild card. My sense is, Gabe, I think there's two things Freddie Roach has worked on. Number one is pathways. I think that they're going to work a lot to Mayweather's left side, because what is the one punch that he got knocked cold by Marquez? It was a straight right-hand counter. Don't think there's any doubt if there's a way they're going to go and attack Floyd, they're going to be shading all the way over to his left side, even with the specter of what you talked about, the check hook. Second of all is punch sequence. One thing, whether you're left-handed or right-handed, and I talked to somebody who was very well-versed at the Mayweather style, Steve Forbes, a couple of years ago, and he said something very interesting, Gabe. He said, the reason why Cotto was able to land so often on Floyd is that he didn't throw the traditional 1-2-3, which is a jab cross hook, that a lot of times he'd throw the one and the two, and instead of coming back with the hook, he'd come back with the jab. And I think punch sequence will be very interesting, and I just get the hunch, Gabe, that the right hook will be very, very apparent. I think they're going to try to go to the body a little bit more than usual. And I do think the straight lead left will be a weapon, because I think no matter what Floyd does, he's always expecting a guy to come against him with the jab to initiate his offense. It's not going to be an easy task, but I do think Manny Pacquiao's foot speed, and he still has very good quickness. I still think Manny Pacquiao has a great chance to really win this fight.
I think if the game plan is forgetting about the knockout, and Freddie has said that in the press, that, look, we haven't knocked out anybody really at 47. Our power's kind of leveled off. Here we are fighting a guy that's fought at 54. So the onus is on winning the rounds, being elusive, getting in and out. And I think, you know, watching the Rios fight, which, you know, Rios was just too slow to deal with it, but he's a tough guy inside, and he's a top-level fighter. So what Pacquiao did to him I thought was very impressive, but he was also very disciplined. It was how he did it, the way he dealt with Bradley and the way he dealt with Algieri. Sticking to simple things that worked, moving in and out, taking what the guy gives you, and not being greedy about it. Being greedy got him knocked out against Marquez, kind of going for something that he didn't really need when he was just winning the rounds with that kind of stick-and-move strategy. I think that's incumbent on Pacquiao to do that. Keep doing that. Keep being a puzzle. Don't be a guy that just runs in, lets Floyd hit you with a lead right or just, you know, the single shot and then grab you and tie you up. It'll be a long night if Pacquiao lets that happen. Like you said, he's got to get to the side. He's got to at least dig down to the body, find a way to make Floyd pay for the long jab to the body by coming upstairs or just completely negating it, slipping out to the side. And like you said, the right hook I think is going to be big. He's going to need to corral Floyd with it, keep him moving off, you know, trying to escape out to his right side to get away from it, and really keep him honest with that right hook. If Manny can do that, I just don't think he has the jab to make it a jabbing contest. But like you said, if it's about placement, it's about getting in and out, and it's about just winning moments, winning exchanges, not chasing anything down that isn't there, but kind of making it happen with feints and footwork. It's a very winnable fight, but I think it's an uphill battle, considering the judges, considering the ref, and everything else that goes along with this, lead promoter,
well, Gabe,
hometown advantage, et cetera.
Let's talk about that element. The referee is Kenny Bayless. Your three judges are Bert Clemens, Dave Moretti, and Glenn Feldman. Listen, Kenny Bayless, I don't think, acquitted himself very well in the rematch between Maidana and Mayweather. This is a guy that I've been very high on. I've thought for at least the last 15 years he was the standard bearer in Nevada. Gabe, what I saw last September was very alarming. But you'd have to think, Kenny Bayless is an intelligent man. And the phrase that comes to mind is from the student protest that turned deadly at Kent State. The whole world is watching. You would hope that Kenny Bayless has enough in his heart to realize, I can't screw this up. This is a large part of my legacy. And when you get an assignment like this, Gabe, you have a responsibility to be absolutely the best referee possible.
There's no question. And these are both icons. This isn't, okay, Victor Ortiz is a known fighter, you know, but this is Floyd Mayweather. You know, this isn't Maidana, who's, you know, held the title, but he's fighting Floyd. This is Manny Pacquiao. This is a guy that's been a bit of a cottage industry himself in Las Vegas, certainly in boxing. He does bring that clout to the table. Manny does have that kind of champion's you know, he'll look at the ref like, yo, this is what should be happening because I'm the A side. I hope he doesn't spend too much time doing that. But I think that Kenny will respect who he is and that it shouldn't be too much of a problem. Because I'm like you. I think Kenny Bayless is probably him and Jack Reese are my two favorite refs at this point. But Kenny, the more he gets his assignments with Floyd, the less excited I am about seeing him in the ring with, you know, officiating a Floyd fight. I just hope he doesn't allow too much holding, and he does what happened this weekend, which is take points, even if it's from the champ, because holding is illegal, bottom line.
The one judge that I'm concerned about, and this was pointed out to be by the Swider man, Matt Swider, always taking copious notes on the sport of boxing. Bert Clemens, Glenn Feldman, they all have their moments, but you know what? They're pretty solid. Here's what worries me about Mr. Moretti, who's no relation to Carl Moretti of Top Rank. He had Mayweather up 9-3 against Marcos Maidana last May, which means he gave him every single benefit of the doubt and or he had a preconceived notion of how he was going to judge that fight. And Mr. Moretti has done 7 of the last 9 Mayweather fights. Huh. Interesting, Gabe.
Yeah, imagine that. Isn't this a guy that almost had the Canelo fight a draw? I don't understand why he would be considered the best, you know, and it seems to me that, you know, with judging, it's like you kind of want impartial guys, not guys you're comfortable with, guys that have watched you fight a bunch of times and you like the way they judge your fights. That's not what this should be about, but, you know, this is boxing, man, and it was interesting. There was a piece that came out recently. It's quotes from the World Anti-Doping Chief, and he was talking about boxing and saying that, you know, USADA's got their work cut out for them there. They're trying to do something in boxing, but it's its own world. It's a world unto itself, I believe is how he described it, with all the different commissions and states and rules and everything. And this fight is, I think, a microcosm of that. It's supposed to be, you know, boxing on its biggest stage and the big return, although you and I don't fall for that kind of hot air. It's supposed to be returning us to our rightful place in the pantheon of sports. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, we're not looking to do it bigger and, you know, doing it better. We're doing it bigger, maybe. There's a lot of cash grabs going on in terms of selling advertising and the tickets and all that. But when it comes to the judges, it's more about what people, how people want to shade the fight. There is every bit of part of the fight strategy, I think, as anything else.
When you look at last year, 2014, Gabe, I know most people are saying Pacquiao may have no shot, but here's the issue that I have with that thought process. If you look at his two victories over Tim Bradley and Chris Algieri, I'm not so sure he wasn't necessarily on par with Mayweather, who needed two attempts to basically destroy whatever confidence Marcos Maidana had coming into those fights. He needed 24 rounds to have a definitive ending. Manny Pacquiao beat Tim Bradley. I don't think that Maidana is a Tim Bradley. In fact, I don't think Victor Ortiz is a Tim Bradley. I don't think a Robert Guerrero is a Tim Bradley. In my opinion, Tim Bradley is one of the elite fighters in the world. You look at his resume in his physical prime, and Manny handled them very easily. Chris Algieri, that was a bit of a layup. He destroyed him. I think if you take away the hanging curveball, where Manny Pacquiao was dominating Marquez, and he became Ralph Branca to Bobby Thompson, and became the shot heard around the world. Take away one punch, and I think the perception of Manny Pacquiao is much different. And as Mark Twain once said, the rumors of his demise might be greatly exaggerated. And it was interesting when I was – the one time I spent with Manny this camp was at the UCLA track stadium, Drake Stadium with Justin Fortune. And one of Pacquiao's confidants told me when they're off to the side, he said, Manny has not been out of cruise control since perhaps 2011. So in other words, he's gotten complacent. And I said, so basically, is he at the De La Hoya level of motivation? He says, there's no doubt about it. And I think that's a factor. And the other factor is, Gabe, this is such a psychological game. Do you really think in his heart of hearts, did Mayweather really want this fight, or did Les Moonves make him take it?
I think it was up to him. He would have liked to have waited one more fight. And really, I think if it was up to him, he'd have never fought Manny Pacquiao. I do think that that's a factor that has to be taken into account here. He didn't want this fight. He didn't want it now. And, you know, I've talked to somebody that watched those workouts, Manny Pacquiao in Santa Monica. And one, it says a lot that he changed up his routine and even decided to go over to that stadium and train. Do something different. I mean, I think it's very important in his preparation physically. Justin Fortune talked a lot about that. That just getting Manny to kind of loosen up and try something new was big, you know. And he really responded well. I think all the focus here that they've brought to bear. I mean, people don't really, you know. I think when you look at Freddie, you've seen it up close, the kind of decline into Parkinson's. And you could see it in the way they shut down everything else, that this was the only training they were doing, and then Freddie would go rest, look at tape, focus on this fight. Justin, who's been battling cancer, same thing. He's just kind of shut it down. Is you know, looking over his gym, but their focus is on this fight. And I get the sense, I think they are aware of this, that this is the pinnacle. Maybe Justin catches a fighter and gets back to this level again. This is kind of lightning in a bottle. But for Freddie, he may never get to this level ever again with a fighter. Certainly he'll never get this place with Manny unless they win again. And I think that that extra motivation, just knowing how important this fight is, I think it seeped into every inch of their camp and their approach to this fight. And you know, a big part of this is mental and those intangibles that, you know, that forge your will going into a bout like this. I don't think that could be overlooked.
One of the most underrated aspects of Freddie is his ability to break down film and to piece by piece dissect the fighter and craft the game plan. And he told me a week or two before this fight was actually signed, back in mid-February, he said, "Steve, I've studied this guy for 5 years." And he goes, "I feel as though I know him better than he knows himself." And look at the template of the guys Mayweather has fought the last 5-6 years. Slow, plodding, one-speed guys without the ability to really accelerate, and usually just above-average power, and I would say activity rate that really isn't all that unusual. I do think Manny Pacquiao brings a few questions to the dance that have not been asked before. So let's get to the brass tacks. On the night of May 2nd, Gabe, who wins this fight, Floyd Mayweather or Manny Pacquiao?
You know, Val, I've had the same pick for about 5 years. Wow, I'm all of a sudden trying to get choked up. I had the craziest dream the other night that almost made me change my opinion. I was sitting in a car. It was our car in an empty parking lot, which I thought was kind of fitting since the tickets hadn't gone out yet, of a giant arena. And strangely enough, Lou DiBella walks by, gets in the car, we start talking, and he's telling me how much money he's going to make off of taking people's bets on the fight. He wouldn't say what it was, but I knew what we were talking about. And he said he's going to make a ton of money off my pick. Now, I've had Floyd Mayweather TKO 11 for 5 years. I got the sense in this dream that I had picked Manny Pacquiao, like overwhelming, very vivid dream. Woke up going, "Whoa, should I switch my pick?" The answer is no, Steve. I just think Floyd's bigger. I think he's fresher. I know he's been fighting plodders, slower guys, hand-picked guys. But I think, you know, if you can make easy money for fighting guys that you're supposed to beat, even though, yeah, he did the Marcos Maidana thing twice, needed twice to get it right. But I think that was kind of a blast for the past, like a nod to Jose Luis Castillo, the act of giving us, quote-unquote, what we want to see. And staving off the inevitable by cashing a $32 million check. I think he's just too big, too skilled, too fast. I think he has enough power to keep Manny kind of tame, keep him contained for the first 6 rounds. Manny will have some moments. It'll be really fraught with drama. Floyd starts to control him in the back end of the fight, beats him up in the back quarter of the fight, stops Manny Pacquiao in 11 rounds, a la Bernard Hopkins over Felix Trinidad.
You're on the record, Gabe. And, Gabe, you know what? I'm going to go with my heart here. My head says Mayweather, but my heart says Pacquiao. And sometimes, you know what? Who gives a shit? I don't gamble. This means nothing to me in terms of whoever I'm right or wrong. I think Manny, I'm telling you, gives Floyd fits from a stylistic standpoint. And the one thing that Manny is not given enough credit for, he does have a boxing IQ. And I think they're going to lay some traps for Mayweather. And I just get there's some funny things that I'm hearing about the Mayweather camp. I'm hearing stuff that he hasn't been training full time the last 2-3 weeks. Alex Ariza has been seen in L.A. recently. Is he even there? Is there turmoil in camp? The father certainly ripped him a new one a couple of weeks ago. And this game is so psychological in a lot of ways. And just seeing Manny for a couple of minutes on Saturday, he looks like a very relaxed guy. This is a guy that I don't think the moment's going to overwhelm him. And one of the advantages I thought Floyd has the last several years when he faces Victor Ortiz, when he faces Robert Guerrero, these guys are starstruck. I mean, they kind of walk in and they don't understand what they're getting into when all of a sudden the bright lights are on them the week of the fight. Manny's been there and done that. In fact, he's fought in bigger events in many respects than almost any other fighter in the world. He's fought in stadiums. He's done great pay-per-view numbers, and he's a legitimate A-side in his own right. Psychologically, he comes into this fight knowing that I have a shot to win. I'm not so sure guys like Guerrero, Victor Ortiz, or even Maidana really ever had that mindset, and I think that's big. So, admittedly, I may be biased here, and quite frankly, if I am, I really don't care. I will take Manny Pacquiao somehow to win this fight. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. But let's get to some tweets. And if you want to send us a tweet, you could do so at SteveUCNLive, at Gabriel_Montoya. Let's go through the list of tweets here. Here's one from, let me see, Joe Cepeda. Is Mayweather going to be in a high guard defense more than shoulder roll stance versus the southpaw stance? I'll be honest with you. I don't really recall him against Zab Judah or Sean B. Mitchell doing anything all that much different than he did against orthodox fighters.
No, I think it just depends on what's getting through, you know. There's, yeah, I mean, you look at southpaw versus orthodox, it isn't really the style that's the problem. It's just where all the feet are placed. I think it comes down to experience, and that southpaws are used to having that lead hand always a little bit closer, you know, just right there with the orthodox fighter, more often than the orthodox fighter is. Usually when you're facing the mirror image of you, you're a little bit further away with your jab and everything. So I think there's that experience. Speed is going to be a big thing here because they're both fast guys, but Manny is a guy that's used to being closer to his opponent all the time because he's generally facing right-handed guys. Floyd is not used to that, so it's going to take some time getting used to that speed. Floyd does have a bad habit of dipping to his right at times to get out of the way of punches, whereas Manny likes to dip down to his right or shooting that straight left. If those two things meet up, and I think that is a point that Freddie would like to connect on, that could be problems for Floyd. I mean, I like my pick. I think it's well thought out. But I could see Manny being that guy. As Bruce Trampler pointed out, if I had to draw somebody out, he said, that would be just build a fighter that would give Floyd problems, it would look a lot like Manny Pacquiao, and I do believe that. I just think at the back end of fights, Manny's technique tends to go away a little bit. He gets a little bit tired and he gets a little bit repetitive, whereas Floyd at the back end of fights tends to have his wits about him. So I don't know what Floyd's going to bring in terms of guard. I think he'll use a mixture of high guard, the shoulder roll, all kinds of things, in order to lure Manny into different spots. It all depends on what gets through. Ultimately,
the one thing Manny's going to have to do at times, I think he's going to have to back up and make Floyd move his feet. That's the biggest misnomer about the modern-day Floyd Mayweather, is that he runs around the ring. He really doesn't. If you look at it, actually how much footwork he uses and how much of a ring radius he utilizes, it's very small. He actually likes to plant his feet and work in small semicircles. I think there are times when Manny's going to have to throw the changeup and actually back up and make Floyd Mayweather come to him and reset his own feet. I just think that if Manny continues to pitch fastballs right down the middle of the plate, that's a recipe for disaster. Here's one from Jaffer Zaidi. What exactly should we make of Ariza/Memo working with TBE? Pure hype, or will it impact the outcome? Gabe?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, I tend to think that liars, and Alex Ariza has lied to me, so I consider him one, tend to give you a little bit of truth. And when he came out with the Fight App interview and talked about meeting with Memo Heredia one night to discuss getting advice on generating more power for Floyd Mayweather at age 38, something that he apparently did for Juan Ramon Marquez, it tells me that probably they worked a little bit harder than one night. They probably discussed it longer than one night. And it's very possible that they all worked together longer than one night and much more, you know, at a time before the preparations for this fight officially, quote-unquote, began, you know, training camp officially beginning. So it's hard to say, but look at Alex's recent track record. Since the last couple of fights with Pacquiao, he didn't seem to have much of a role. He goes up to Oxnard. There's some chicanery possibly happening in the corner with Maidana Broner. And then they turn around and get a positive drug test in the Rios-Pacquiao fight. And Rios seemed to blame it on Alex Ariza, that he gave him something, gave him a banned substance. And since then, what has he really done but disappear to the U.K. to, quote-unquote, you know, work with a soccer team or take offers out in the U.K.? I think Alex Ariza's impact on everything might be a little overstated. So I don't know what to make of it, but that's my take.
That he was at the Chavez fight and that he's been seen at the Grove in L.A. And this coincides with Mayweather Sr. just ripping him. And I'm just wondering, is he even involved? But what I find interesting is that people say, oh, no, Memo's not even part of TMT, yet he's putting up pictures where he's saying, I'm going to the Mayweather gym. All I can say is this. If the shoe was on the other foot and it was Manny Pacquiao hiring guys like Memo, there would be certain people who would be outraged and talking about this, proves everything. Why does that not exist here, and why do the people who have access to Mayweather, Why aren't they at least asking that question to him? Maybe it's because they want to keep that access.
And there's that. And also, yeah, I mean, I think people would have to own up to the fact that Manny Pacquiao pretty much got crucified in the press. You and I got crucified by fellow press, quote unquote, for not vilifying Manny Pacquiao, demanding that he do tests, and not coming over to the other side and saying, look, this guy's clearly on drugs because he won't do X. Without any sort of proof, without any sort of positive drug tests, we were supposed to do that. I think that's pretty ridiculous. But I find it interesting that Floyd Sr., who's apparently been around Alex Ariza now after years of accusing him when he was working with Pacquiao, still says, well, the only things he knows are probably dirty things. That's
right.
The quote.
Hmm.
Where's everybody jumping on him? But here's one more last point of that. When everybody was making a big thing about that Memo might be working with Ariza and working with Floyd, Ellerbe comes out and says, I don't even know who Memo Heredia is. That's his quote to the press, I mean, to Lance Pugmire. Well, isn't the CEO of TMT, shouldn't he know who's working with Badu Jack, his fighter? Which is Memo Heredia, who's working with Badu Jack.
And by the way,
when liars give you a little bit of truth, I can't find it hard to believe that that's true.
And Memo was at the fight on Friday with Badu Jack winning the title from Anthony Durrell. Here's a tweet from the president, Andrew V. Kennedy. You guys think Kenny Bayless will make himself known in this fight or actually lay back? Pac will need room to work. I'll say it again. Kenny Bayless has to understand one thing. This is the biggest assignment of your life. Much of your legacy, Kenny, it's going to be on May 2nd, what you do for those 48 to 60 minutes. Fair warning. How you want to be remembered, it'll be up to you. That's simple, Gabe.
It's that simple. If we see him allowing Floyd to hold and admonishing Pacquiao for minor infractions, we know what time it is. That's basically it. That's one of the biggest things in this game, in this fight, is the gray area. Is Manny going to be able to deal with Floyd holding? And you know, the little, like, to us, it just looks like a loose headlock. But, you know, you get a guy underneath in a headlock, and you can, you know, push your forearm into their carotid artery there, into their neck, and cut off the airflow. You can even just kind of lightly pull their neck and feel like it's coming out of the socket a little bit. It's not, but it feels that way. You can make a guy very uncomfortable doing all those things that Floyd does. And over the years, I've watched Manny. He's not the biggest infighter in the world. He doesn't like to work inside. He likes to tie up, let the ref break them, and work from that medium to longer range and really get full extension on his power. I'm very curious to see what the inside fighting of this game, this fight's going to look like, and how Manny's going to deal with a guy that physically tries to rough him up with those kind of gray area Mayweather/B-hop tactics.
If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Our show, we are anticipating a full 2 hours tonight. If you want to call in, those numbers again, 347-215-7598. Continue to ask us questions. Give us your prediction, Pacquiao Mayweather, at Steve UCN Live and at Gabriel_Montoya. Later on, we'll talk about Vladimir Klitschko retaining his heavyweight title, and we have a bevy of news and notes. Gabe, let's get to the calls.
All right, we have a bevy of calls as well. In the 860, you're live on the next round.
How you guys doing, CT?
Good. What's going on?
What's up, C?
How you guys doing? Definitely to talk about the Pacquiao and Mayweather fight. It's so hard to really say who's going to win. I'm going with Mayweather, but it's going to be interesting because Manny's going to be throwing punches at threes, fours, and fives. And I don't think we ever seen a fighter throw those type of punches against Mayweather to see how he does against that. But I think I agree on, I think it was Gabe who said, it's going to take Mayweather a few rounds to catch up to that speed. And I think he's the best at making adjustments in the fight between the two. And I'm picking Mayweather to win by decision. Maybe a little scared towards the middle rounds where Pacquiao could land one of those straight left hands. And I do make a big deal about the angles. Pacquiao's going to be throwing speed and power at different angles where Floyd's not used to. So it's going to be very interesting. So, I mean, anything could happen, but I'm going with Mayweather by decision.
All right.
It's
you
interesting.
Are noted there.
Again, when you look at this fight, what I want to see is the middle rounds. I want to see some tension, and if Mayweather's behind, I'm telling you, he's done this in another fight before. When he fought Zab Judah, he was probably down 4-2 or maybe even 5-1. He just decided, you know what, I'm going to walk this guy down. And if you look at what he did, he actually put his hands up high, elbows tucked in, and he just walked down Zab Judah. I'd love to see that scenario play out on Saturday night, to see Mayweather down early and him having to say, you know what, I'm going to have to go get this guy.
That is really the hope. And hopefully that a knockdown happens and it actually gets called, unlike in that fight. That would be a very different fight, I think, even more so. I think there would be even more urgency from Floyd had that knockdown been scored. It should have been a DQ loss anyways, but I digress. I think that is the dream scenario, is that Pacquiao puts him down, and the real, not just the unknown danger of what can Pacquiao's power do here, but that we actually see it in action, that Floyd feels it, fears it, and has to figure out some way. Because when you look at the two, Manny really lets his hands go. He still lets his hands go. With Algieri, he's letting his hands go in combination, and he's got that sneaky right hook. Somebody was pointing out to me, Daryl Hudson and I were talking about it, and he said the way Pacquiao throws that hook, it's very sneaky, and it's kind of long, shoots straight through you rather than always kind of coming straight across. And I look at Floyd, and his offense is always at such a premium. He leans way forward, almost like a fencer on that front foot, and explodes to shoot the right hand. Kind of telegraphs it a little bit, but you know, it's usually a right hand, and then he kind of comes over the top of you and grabs you, lets the ref break you up, and he goes back to maybe the jab here and there. His offense, he doesn't throw a lot of combinations. I think a big question here is, can Manny lure him into combinations? And that is where we're going to see who's got the better chin and who's faster. That's going to be, I think that's a big question in this fight. I think we've put CT on hold, and let's keep moving through them. We've got a ton of calls. I'm going to pull up in the 773. You're live on the next round.
Hello, Troy from Chicago.
Troy, welcome aboard.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up, man?
Oh, I was just coming in to put my word in. I'm going with Manny. I think Floyd slowed down just enough for Manny to work some angles on him and speed. Besides Judah, I don't think Floyd has faced anyone with the speed of Manny.
You know what's interesting? I asked Freddie Roach, this is about a couple of days before the fight was announced, and I said, everyone talks about Manny not being the same guy he was in 2010, but I said to Freddie, do you think Floyd's the same guy? And he said, Steve, I'd much rather face him now than, let's say, 3 years ago. So that dynamic exists on both ends.
I can see that point. I mean, you look at the Maidana fights. I think even the first Maidana fight, and despite the fact that where Pacquiao was in his career, that fight made me kind of go, wait a minute. You know, maybe you know, this is a hand-picked guy. Yeah, he's dangerous, and he beat up Broner, and it was nice, but it was still a Mayweather-approved opponent. And he was able to get to Floyd in certain spots, and he's nowhere near the polished fighter that Pacquiao is. That fight, if I'm Freddie, that fight gives me a lot of hope. Both of those fights give me a lot of hope.
And also the Bradley fight.
Yeah, you know, the Bradley fight is a template in a sense that we're talking about an athletic guy, pretty slick, pretty evasive, but, you know, Bradley is a little bit more of a grinder. He's not quite the stylist Floyd Mayweather is, but I've brought this question up before. Can you name me a guy in the last 5-6 years that Floyd Mayweather has defeated that is at the level of Tim Bradley?
Or any fighter that threw more than 30 punches a round.
And that is another factor. Yes. All right, well, you're on the record, so thank you for the call. 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
Let's see. In the 323, you're live on the next round. 323.
Gentlemen, fight on. Fight on, gentlemen.
Fight on, Sam. What's going
up,
on?
Man?
What's going on, gentlemen? Real quick point. Thank you for that trolling you've been doing to Stephen A. Smith on Twitter, Steve. I really appreciate it.
I don't think it's trolling, though. I mean, I'm just pointing out some maddening inconsistencies in the illogical statements that he's making for him to tell his co-host, Kerry Champion, well, you should feel that way about domestic abuse, mm-hmm. being that you're a woman. That is patronizing, and it's also completely idiotic in a sense. That's like telling a Jewish person, you know what, you should feel angry about the Nazis and Adolf Hitler because you're Jewish. I understand that, as if no one else should be outraged by those atrocities.
I completely agree.
But for the rest of us,
that,
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's also that way of saying, you know, coming out publicly against DV, but then kind of saying, yeah, but she probably said something to him. You know, she probably just, or, you know, really got on him. And for the kind of guys that say, yeah, but, you know, us married guys know, sometimes your wife just drives you crazy. I'm married, and we get in arguments, but it just there's no justification for it. And Stephen A. is just – he's been an inconsistent shill for many, many years. But this mm-hmm. stuff, to me, these are societal problems. It's despicable to have him up on TV acting this way. I don't understand why he still has a job after what he said to her.
I don't either.
You know,
I just wanted,
if I'm
I
ESPN,
appreciate Steve.
No, listen, I just call it as I see it about sycophantic A. Smith.
So back to the events this weekend. I'm going with Manny. 5 years ago, I would have picked Floyd hands down. I think that Manny's side-to-side lateral movements and being at right now, I think Manny is the better all-around athlete than Floyd, just as far as movement and where he can go and the speed. And Floyd has not had to face somebody with this tenacity, with this heart, with this will. And since when? Since I can remember, Canelo Alvarez was weight drained, but I still can't put Canelo Alvarez with the same tenacity as Manny Pacquiao. And I just think that adjustment that he's going to have to make, Manny cannot let him find time to make adjustments. It has to be that in-and-out pace, but still calculated to where he's not going to walk into one of those punches. And I think if Manny does that, and the speed is just going to be, I think it's going to be too much for Floyd. Floyd hasn't been in a real fight since, you know, those guys went to his gym and he had to call Bob Arum to save him, you know?
Oh, the collection agency. Yes, the collection agency. Whoa,
so
okay.
I'm going with Manny. I'm going with Manny, and I think the highlight, the last time there was a big, big fight like this with Canelo, the judging was a little fishy, wouldn't you guys agree? So I don't think this is going to be one where they can just let Floyd, shoulder roll, pot shot. I don't think they're going to let him get a decision like that based upon the last time there was this big of a fight in Vegas.
We'll see, because I think Nevada has proven more and more throughout the years they are in Floyd's pocket in a lot of different ways.
Uh-huh.
Will they let him lose a legitimately close fight? We shall see. Sanj, we got a million calls. We got to get going, okay?
All right, fellas.
347-215-7598. At the top of the hour, we'll go through the Klitschko fight on HBO. We'll go through some news and notes. Gabe?
708. You've been on the longest. 708. You're live on the next round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Next call, Gabe.
You got it. In the 541, hopefully the action's this fast and furious Saturday. You're live on the next round.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Appreciate the podcast and your written work, too.
Thank you.
Oh, right on.
Unfortunately, I wish Manny would win the fight, but I think Gabe's right on with his analysis. I've got a really hard time envisioning that Manny won't have more trouble with a larger and even a faster counterpuncher in Mayweather than he ever did with Marquez, and that's and just looking at the fight, that comparison troubles me. Second, real quick, you both seem to be pretty well read. What's your favorite boxing book, and besides yourselves, which current boxing writers should we respect and follow?
My favorite boxing book is, Dark Trade by Donald McCrae was a great book, and Black Lights by Thomas Hauser I thought was outstanding. And the one writer that I do not miss, and I'm honored to have him on our website, is Carlos Acevedo. I think he is an absolute gem, and I think he's the best in the business.
I dig, you know, Liebling's The Sweet Science. I think it's really kind of – it's just classic to me, and it's kind of like the book that I always kind of go back to, you know. just you know, looking back for inspiration. There's an Ali book too, King of the World, that I really dig. And I would say, you know, I would actually kind of agree with Steve. I read Lance Pugmire, I read Doug Fisher, occasionally I read Tom Hauser, but Carlos Acevedo is kind of is like a throwback. He kind of feels like a classic writer, but also, you know, really understands the modern world. I really love the phrase he's penned, anti-social media. So that's probably a guy I would look at. But I just for pleasure reading.
Okay, appreciate the list.
All right, thank you very much. Right. If you want to call in, that number, 347-215-7598. Give us your prediction, Mayweather or Pacquiao, the fight to save boxing for the 43rd time. Hey, it's for the fans.
And that's King of the World by David Remnick. I don't know if you've ever read that, but it kind of puts Ali and Liston and Patterson in like a kind of a civil rights light and explains kind of the evolution of them and basically the African American in society, particularly the athlete. It's really, really fascinating stuff. Let's see. In the 585, you're live on the next round.
Hey guys, it's Jake from St. Paul.
Jake, what's going
what's
on?
What's up, man?
So, I was going to say my favorite boxing book would be Serenity, a boxing memoir by Ralph Wiley. There's only two in print left on Amazon, the last I checked, and he's not an active writer anymore, as you guys know. So,
right.
If anybody wants to check out a really good book, I would suggest go get it on Amazon as quickly as you can before someone else gets it. But I would like to ask, this is kind of an off boxing a little bit. With all of the unrest going, I mean, we've had two race riots in this country in the last couple of months. If Floyd Mayweather got robbed on Saturday, do you see a possibility for unrest there at all?
Listen,
no.
The last two fights with Floyd Mayweather at the MGM Grand, there was a stampede. You know,
well, I mean,
anything could happen. But, you know, here's the thing. That's such a – in terms of the in-arena crowd, that is going to be such a highbrow 1% audience. I don't know. I mean, I would hope to think that regardless of the fight, everyone behaves themselves like civilized human beings.
I just wouldn't connect either of the two. I mean, Floyd hasn't exactly – come out in support of Black Lives Matter. I don't think he's not against it. Maybe I've missed it, but I haven't seen him really tweet about any of that stuff. I don't see him hashtagging, you know, anyone's names. And there's been a lot of names this year and last year of you know, African-American gentlemen killed, you know, unarmed. It's a major issue right now at the forefront of everything. There's been a lot more than two riots. There's been all kinds of demonstrations all over the country. There's stuff going on like today in Baltimore right now. It's full-on riot, Freddie Gray. Floyd doesn't mention any of that. So I just wouldn't – if there's a riot, like Steve said, they've happened at Floyd fights before all this. I wouldn't – and, you know, Tyson fight, it's happened before. I just don't think that they would have anything to do with it.
How big are these stakes, in your guys' opinion – is this fight for HBO? You know, if they win, they get the most marketable fighter in the world back, the pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world, and Heyman loses his – the guy he kind of revolves everything around. This is the biggest stakes fight for HBO, and I mean, as far as I can remember, in my opinion.
It is. I mean, listen, the winner of this fight, whoever's aligned to them, whether it's Top Rank, Al Heyman, Showtime, HBO, it's big. Will it change the business in any way? I do think this. If Mayweather loses, Al Heyman does lose his biggest sphere of influence. I think that much is clear.
Well, I think, though, you know, Al used him as a bargaining chip for so long, and I think – leverage acquired at this point. You know, he's got the PBC on so many networks, and it's so ingrained. I mean, there was a time when the only guys really mentioning Al Heyman were Steve and Doug, And I would bring it up to them. I know other people would talk about it, but like a smattering of like industry people and maybe a couple media guys. Now Al is all out there, and I think even though we see his influence all through the place, I don't see it going away, barring him using up all that money that he's allotted for the PBC experiment, and it all fails and goes away, and then he's done. But I don't think anything for him rises or falls on Floyd winning or losing. I think it would be nice if he does, and it'll knock out the competition and really hamstring Top Rank, especially if he knocks Pacquiao out. But HBO's got their stars. Golovkin's their future, not Pacquiao. So I think it's big, but it's not like anything major is going to turn. Floyd getting knocked out would be pretty awesome, though. And for the record, my heart is picking Pacquiao. My head is making the pick that I'm picking.
Jake, we got to get going. Who's your prediction for Saturday night?
My head goes with Pac or with Floyd. I think he's just a better fighter.
Okay, Jake, you're on the record. Thank you for the call. Gabe, let's move on here.
You got it. Peace, Jake. 530, you're live on the next round.
Good evening, guys. It's Ringside Robbie here, and my pick is Pacquiao. I want to see that zero disappear. I have never been a Floyd Mayweather supporter. This is a fight that I've been hoping would happen for years. Manny brings speed, both foot speed and hand speed, that can keep up with Floyd, and he's the only fighter that Floyd will ever face that can keep up with him on those levels. And the one key, in my opinion, for Manny to be successful is he's got to do volume punching. He can't do 30 punches around or 40 punches around and make it questionable in the judge's mind. If you want to win a clear decision, you've got to have more activity than Floyd. Otherwise, he might get ripped off in Las Vegas, even though Manny has fought in Vegas several times. But I'm definitely going with Manny Pacquiao here. And that has been my pick ever since his fight has been talked about for years. So I'm not changing my tune there.
Sweet. Robbie, you are bold, and that's the whole thing. I think he's going to have to be active and careful. And I think another thing that Freddie has harped on is keeping a certain distance at certain angles. One thing about Floyd Mayweather, he is a sharpshooter, he is a sniper, and I think controlling distance in his own way from an offensive standpoint is going to be key. He has to be inside, but he can't be all the way inside. And there are certain times in a fight where he's going to be safe just by being at a certain angle, whether it's all the way to the left or all the way to the right. But I'm telling you, this is going to be a test of really how good of a tactician is Freddie Roach, and I think he's one of the best, and how disciplined a fighter can Manny Pacquiao be? Because there is that stereotype or that reputation that he's just this frenetic, helter-skelter guy. If he could pull this one off, I think in many ways he will have reinvented his own reputation, if you will.
Well, the one thing we have never seen in Floyd's 47 fights is anybody put constant pressure on him. Normally, Floyd has been able to have things his own way in the ring. For once, I want to see him be forced into changing his game plan in the middle of the fight. He comes out, he thinks the fight is going to be one way, and he has to make adjustments in the ring. We've always credited him for being able to do that, but he's been able to do that with fighters that haven't been giving him much activity. I think this is the one guy in this weight class who can put constant pressure on him and make things difficult for Floyd. And like I said, in Las Vegas especially, the more activity you have, the better your chances are of winning. If you decide you're going to take breaks, that's going to be to your detriment when it comes to the scorecards, because I do think that this is going to go the full distance, and I do think it will go to the scorecards. So if it does that, you're going to have to give these three judges a lot of activity to think about. That way it's not handed to Floyd on a silver platter.
Okay, Ringside Robbie, as always, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Thanks, man.
347-215-7598 if you want to call in. Gabe?
I'm just curious how many people are going to be watching this fight on pay-per-view or watching it on the radio. I know people probably aren't going to be able to tell us that, but I'm just curious. 714, you're live on the next round.
Hey, it's Lenny the Fight Smith, guys.
Lenny, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Lenny?
How's it going? I was pinch hitting for Gabe yesterday with Dave, and we completely forgot to talk about the superstar, the real main event Saturday, Leo Santa Cruz versus Tom Bob Anderson.
He finally got an opponent. I think his name is Jose Caetano, who actually lost his last fight. And this is unprecedented. This is a large stage being on a pay-per-view undercard. And you literally finally have your opponent 6 days before the fight. Just listen, I know Leo Santa Cruz is making a lot of money. He's there, in his own words, to obey Al Haymon. But this is really ridiculous what they've done to this kid's reputation as a fighter.
Well, you're also charging people $100 for that product.
That too.
You hear $100 fee telling everybody how great they are, kind of like crowning themselves before they've really done it on their own. I found that interesting too. In Ellerby's, there was an article earlier this week. I don't know if it came from a press release or what, where Ellerby was saying that he could tell, since Manny was not going to do certain media obligations, that he's cracking under the pressure, that he's never been involved in this kind of level of fight. Are they crazy? I don't understand where TMT's coming from.
Well, Leonard kind of is just delusional, and the bottom line is, I know Manny pretty well. I'm not one of his close friends, but Manny, to a certain degree, is Alfred E. Newman. What me worry? Nothing really fazes him all that much. I still remember asking Freddie about 10 days ago as the ticket snafu was reaching its height. And Freddie was very worried because he had to get tickets for his family, his mother, certain charities. And he was stressing out about it. And I asked Freddie, how's Manny handling this? And his exact words were, he goes, Steve, Manny doesn't give a shit about any of this. that's Manny Pacquiao in a capsule. Lenny, I want to ask you, as a boxing consumer, as someone who actively participates in supporting the shows financially, you go to fights, I'm sure you buy the pay-per-views, how do you think the consumer has been treated here for this particular promotion?
I think it's insulting. I think this is probably the worst handled event for the consumer that I can remember in boxing. I mean, I haven't watched the last three Mayweather fights, or the last two Mayweather fights, I didn't buy either of the Maidana fights. I watched them after the fact on HBO. I didn't listen to them on the radio. I can't. at least I can't admit to it. But this is just it's just out of control. I mean, at least Lomachenko's fighting a nobody, but at least we've known he's fighting a nobody for a long time. He's not really being billed for the fight. I mean, it's not really Top Rank's show. The Mayweather side is running the show. The fact that Leo Santa Cruz didn't have an opponent until today, and he's the second, he's the co-main or the top supporting fight, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Let's just be very honest. If the Spurs and the Clippers keep holding court the rest of the way, home court advantage, your pay-per-view undercard is really the Spurs-Clippers Game 7. And what I find interesting was, guys, from the very beginning, what did they keep telling us? What was their mantra? We don't need to promote this. We've had 5 years to do this. This is a fight that sells itself. I'm not sure about that. I still think you need an infrastructure. I still think there needs to be work done. And look at what's going on in the sports calendar. What is the most dominant league in the world today, or at least in America? It's the NFL, and they have their draft. Now, the draft does huge numbers from a television standpoint nowadays. Then you have the Kentucky Derby. Then you have the NBA playoffs. Guys, am I not mistaken? But that's a lot on the plate for sports fans. It's not as if Mayweather Pacquiao have the stage to themselves the next 6-7 days.
I've never understood the idea that, I mean, okay, the saturation is there. Everybody knows Mayweather Pacquiao. Everybody, has wanted this fight for 5 years. They've gone from wanting it to being angry that they didn't get it, all through with it. They've come back, full circle. But, Steve, I'm 42 years old. I don't know about you, but in that time I've learned that nothing does it itself. All things take effort and work, and especially in the promotional business, when you're dealing with all these moving parts, setting up the arena, everything, the tickets, marketing deals, this was poorly handled. There's just no other way around it. I mean, yeah, people are going to get their tickets, but, I mean, really, this has brought out the worst in us, I think, in some regards. Waiting till the fighters are just at the tipping point of, you know, old age, and the tickets where nobody can get them, or, you know, regular boxing fans can't get them, and whatever we're allowed to get, like the weigh-in, we're being price gouged. Paying for the weigh-in? Yeah, right, it's going to charity. I read your column this morning. It was really astute stuff. You know, I don't do math, but I appreciated that you did. All of it just seems like a giant cash grab. My hope is that the fight itself is just good. That we get to it. It's not controversial. It's clear who wins, and we can move forward.
You know, you look at – aren't they doing a remake of Star Wars, guys? I'm not – I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan,
yes.
But I didn't watch the prequels. Okay, I guarantee you everyone that watched Star Wars from our generation on is going to be – you know, there's going to be people waiting in line for months, okay? And that thing's going to do great business at the box office. But I don't see those people in charge of that saying, Star Wars is so iconic – we don't even need to promote or market this. We're just going to have a release date, and on the premiere, we're just going to count our money. They're going to be doing huge things that are planned months and years in advance from a promotional standpoint, marketing, sponsorship, tie-ins. It just goes to show you, having Mayweather Promotions run this event, you don't get a sumo wrestler to ride Secretariat in the Kentucky Derby.
It's like saying, well, you know, we're going to do Hamlet. Trust me, it makes itself. It'll be fine. No, there's a lot of things that go into it. Sorry, a lot of
moving parts. Now, Lenny, I have to ask you this then. Are you buying this weekend's pay-per-view at $100?
Personally, I'm not. I'm going to a party to watch it with a bunch of friends and trying to at least spread out the contribution to the Mayweather pocketbook as much as I can.
Oh, God, you animal, Lenny. He's got kids to feed. Jeez, that's a monster. Are you?
Thanks, Phil.
All right, Lenny, thank you for the call.
Appreciate it, guys.
Before we hit the phone lines again, we have about another hour to go here on the next round, brought to you by Iron Gym. Gabe, Vladimir Klitschko, yeah, he won easily. Yeah, he was never really in danger. I don't know, do you agree with me? There were finally signs of physical slippage on Dr. Steelhammer on this particular night?
I think that, and it was like, welcome back to America, dude, where not everything goes your way, you know, where we're not going to put up with you just endlessly clinching, and you've got your, you know, whatever deal set up, so you don't really care how terrible the fight is. All that was gone. And what we were left with is a guy that Emmanuel really, he very much rehabbed him. And got him back to being a 1-2 fighter. He's really nice off the hook, you know, the hook off the jab. Doesn't use it quite as much as he used to. Sometimes he leads with it a little bit more now. But Vlad knows to just keep it basic and don't try to fight inside because I'm a gigantic guy. I don't need to, and it probably puts me in more danger than anything. What we got here was a guy that showed a clear game plan. I thought Jennings was nice. He was moving early on, trying to be a puzzle. I didn't see it as so much of a whitewash. I thought that Vlad had stylistic problems, not just age, but that, you know, Jennings was shooting underneath his jab and really working to the body, taking those open targets. And for some reason, that hasn't counted in Europe, but it seemed like Jennings was really all about it. He couldn't get anything going on upstairs, and I think that was his ultimate failing. But I think it's, you know, age to be expected, but I think Vlad's game is also very, very basic. He's a headhunter, doesn't like to go to the body, and has trouble defending it when people don't give him the head but take his body. So I thought it was kind of a fun fight, though. I'm excited to see how his contract plays out, if it leads somewhere dangerous.
Bryant Jennings drops to 19-1. And we mentioned this last week. He had a very late start to the sport of boxing. I think entered the gym at age 25, 26. I just wonder if he had a little bit more seasoning,
yeah,
was a little bit more active the past 18 to 24 months, some of the stuff he wasn't able to do naturally, would he have been able to do it under a different circumstance with a few more fights under his belt? Because there's nothing like live bullets. And Vladimir Klitschko,
yeah,
it looks like he's going to have to fight Tyson Fury next. Gabe, I'm telling you right now, that's a dangerous fight. This guy's big, he's ballsy, he's just stupid enough to think he can win. I'm telling you, I know Klitschko won easy. I think he's starting to get to that point where he's awfully, awfully vulnerable. And Saddam Ali, 10-round decision over Francisco Chia Santana. Your scores 97-93 twice and 100-90. And some news and notes here, Gabe. Andre Ward is fighting. Okay, you can insert your own punchline here, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Smith on BET. Gabe, you live in the Bay Area. Are you going to that fight at the Oracle in Oakland?
It depends on what else is going on that night. Probably not. I mean, I don't write for an outlet actively. You know, I mean, I do some coverage for Social Underground, but I do this radio show. I do Leave It in the Ring. That's it. You know, I do another show with Game Time and Z-Twins during the week up in Seattle, like FM radio. But I'm not actively writing, so the fight doesn't really excite me. Let's see what the other card brings. I would be curious to see what a Rock Nation show brings, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Probably not. Like I said, it really depends on what else is going on that night.
And also, Nonito Donaire, Scott Quigg, that fight is being discussed by Top Rank and Eddie Hearn. Gabe, let me tell you something. I love this fight. If this could be consummated, count me in. Donaire, he belongs at 122. Quigg is a little bit untested. I love this crossroads type of dynamic that exists here.
Yeah, because I want to see how Scott deals with explosive power, which Donaire has. I thought Donaire looked nice in his last fight, like kind of recommitted, like, wait a minute, you know what? I don't want it to be over. The paychecks are getting smaller. I'm starting to, you know, I'm taking a beating here. What's going on? And he looked like really in professional shape his last fight. I expect a really tough fight here. If Donaire can get his jab active in this fight and has his legs under him so that he can stick and move the way he used to, I think 122 is a great weight for him. I mean, he's got a lot left in the tank. It's just been upstairs that's been his problem. So it's a great fight. It's a winnable fight on both ends.
And one news about another Pinoy fighter, Brian Viloria, July 18th. Looks like he's going to return in Macau. Steve, USSS Cunningham, he is now being shipped over to Al Haymon. I believe there's a very good possibility he could be fighting Deontay Wilder for the WBC heavyweight title. And, Gabe, the big news here that came out today, and I was able to get it confirmed, Tom Loeffler did say that there's been an inquiry from Rock Nation on behalf of Miguel Cotto to do a step-aside fee in regards to his WBC position. Gabe, I understand this is a business, and I think Golovkin has a tough decision to make, but if Cotto does not want to defend his middleweight title, and he's going to fight Canelo if he beats Daniel Gill, I think the belt is irrelevant. And there's an old phrase, shit or get off the pot.
It's almost kind of turning HBO into like the Ring of boxing networks. I mean, dude, you're the linear titleist, and you're paying step aside money to the most dangerous guy. I don't recall even Sergio Martinez doing that.
No,
he was chasing Chavez to get his belt back. He wanted it for whatever reasons, you know. But yeah, I just find this. You're just no Tito. That's all I gotta say. He's no Tito. And here's the thing. Somewhere between the PBC, who is pretending, and I'm a Daniel Jacobs guy, but they're pretending like he's the middleweight champion of the world, and Miguel Cotto paying the most dangerous 160-pound potential step-aside money or asking to, lies the truth of who actually is the man at 160. It's craziness.
Going through the fight review, Gabe, Felix Verdejo. Now, listen, he did what he was supposed to against Marco Antonio Lopez. I believe he's on to June 13th, HBO debut at the Theater of Madison Square Garden against Ivan Bam Bam Nahada. Gabe, I'm just saying it again. When he walks into an arena, the Puerto Ricans love this kid. This is not a like affair. This is truly a love affair. I think this could be Tito Trinidad 2.0.
Let's hope so, because we need a guy that you know. That's the thing, though. Is Tito was a Don King guy, and I wonder if the kind of run that he went on those 2 years heading into Hopkins, would that happen with a top-ranked fighter? But then I guess you look at Manny Pacquiao and De La Hoya and those careers, it's very possible. He's just got the it factor. I think in the ring, though, there's still some things I want to see. I don't know anything about his chin. I don't know what he's like if somebody pushes the pace on him. Because really, this fight was him following around dude, trying to make him throw back. The guy knew he was outgunned and was trying to be all wily about it. But, you know, Verdejo would kind of just shell up behind the shield, occasionally throw the jab. he was waiting to be explosive, which I think is great, but I want to see him get that right hand more involved. And as soon as I did, he started letting it go late in the fight, and that's kind of, you know, what set up the end. But I like his left hook. I just want to see him untracked. Seeing him face these guys that he's supposed to blow out or get a few rounds in and then take out, I'm not learning anything about him, and I wonder if he's learning anything. It's time to step up and step up. Maybe not gigantic, but maybe with somebody with power or some speed or both.
Well, not as that first step. And I get the sense, even if he comes out clean on June 13th, and I know Top Rank's philosophy, they don't plan to make him an HBO-only fighter even after June 13th. I believe that they'll showcase him on Unamas. They're going to take him to Orlando, take him to Philadelphia. Obviously, Central New York will be a place where he's going to be a ticket seller down the line. Keep this in mind, though, Gabe. He's only 21, and it's like that old Paul Masson commercial. We shall make no wine before it's time. And as I did my Orson Welles there. Gabe, Daniel Jacobs, Caleb Truax, the whole PBC show, I'm not going to lie to you, that was boring. Really, outside the last five, six rounds of Badu Jack really grinding and saying, okay, I'm going to win this title, that was a desultory boxing broadcast, wasn't it?
I was not excited. I was impressed that Jacobs stepped it up and got Truax out of there. But I wanted to see him be more aggressive and get that done way earlier in the fight. Like, you know, not super early, but I think he could have pressed the action and really just had some mean intentions and gotten him out of there 8 to 10, somewhere in there. He just took way too much of his time. Danny still gets touched with the right, and I know he loves to switch it. You know, I watched him do that even before he got cancer. It was something he was starting to work on when he was training out of the wild card. He's a big fan of it. I like that he does it, but he leaves himself open to flush right hands. And Truax is not known as a puncher. I'm still curious to see if he's all the way back, if he can take a shot from a big guy and keep coming. You know, with Jacobs, I think they've brought him back nicely. Out of all the Heyman guys, even though he got rushed too soon to Pirog, the way they've brought him back, I think it's smart. He's not the middleweight champion, though. He just happens to have a portion, you know, of the title. But, man, the rest of the fight, Darrell and Jack, I mean, you know, some nice skills here and there, but and like you said, the grind out was good, but boy, it was just, it just felt like a long drive to Vegas to a crappy fight. That's what it felt like, with people that you don't want to talk to.
On the bright side, though, the people that got free tickets from One Iota, they say they had a splendid time, so there is that. Gabe, let's get back to the phone lines if you want to call in. We have about another 48 minutes, 347-215-7598. If you want to send us a tweet, Steve UCN Live, Gabriel _ Montoya.
805, you're live on the next round.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's me, Nacho.
Nacho, what's going on?
Nothing much. Listen, I totally agree with you about the PBC. That was just utterly boring to watch. Like, I don't understand how – it's a good thing Al Heyman pays them to televise this shit because – man, I don't know who would pay for that.
And by the way, Nacho, the ratings the second time around were significantly declined from their initial broadcast.
Yeah, I'm sure they were because those fights were just utterly boring. Even Jacobs took 12 rounds to beat Truax, who I thought he could have taken him out earlier. So that was just terrible.
Yeah. Ugh. I just wanted him to push it, you know. Nobody risks anymore. It's I don't understand what I'm watching a lot of the time anymore. There's an urgency from the fighters. I like that they get paid more. And shit, football players make a lot of money, but they play with some passion, some urgency, some want to hurt somebody. And boxers, it's just what we're getting is these kind of the grind bowls, and we're lucky that somebody lands something good and they get them out of there. And that's the thing with Danny. He was so sloppy in his finish, and he needs more finishes. In order to learn how to do that, it's still very.
And Gabe, you know what? And I don't want to hold a Pirog fight against him forever because fights come and go, things happen. I still worry about his punch resistance. How good is his chin? And there's been a stated effort to make sure he doesn't fight any real punchers since coming back.
Yeah, I also just wonder about him. He's been at 60 for so long, and could he move up? Should he move up? You know, this fight he seemed very chiseled. And I wonder about that when the guys don't get that more of like fleshy, hydrated look come fight night from the weigh-in. what signal is that sending from their body? You know, usually to me, it's like it take a while to sweat and everything kick in. You're sacrificing something. That's the thing. Haman, all the money he's got and his connections and his ability to leverage things, it's very smart. But this is the fight game is unlike any other game. It's all about developing these guys correctly, knowing how to do that. Develop not just a record, but a fighter. And I really still question his ability to do that after all this time.
Gabe, we got a tweet here from one of our old listeners, Bradley. Steve and Gabe, you guys are such haters. The PBC is all for the fans. Duly noted. Sorry about that.
I think the thing that fans should be happy about with the PBC is that they have something
free tickets
to complain about.
Free
tickets.
Okay, I thought it was free tickets.
About something. You know, they boxing fans love to grouse, and the PBC gives that endlessly. So, you know, free tickets and that. They should be
Nacho, about your Saturday night, how are you watching the fight this weekend? Group of people?
I'm actually,
are you buying it or what?
No, I'm actually watching it with a group of friends also. Yeah, I'm not paying the $100. So,
so if everyone
gives
$10 and bring your own Tecate, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Órale, órale. All right, well, have a great time this weekend.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, really quick, I just wanted to bring up the point about Klitschko.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's taken so long for these refs to finally penalize this guy for holding, because it seems like every time he leans in, he just automatically grabs the other fighter, and he's never given anything except a warning. So I was totally shocked that they took the point away, but I thought it was about damn time that they finally told him something about it. Like, that's just ridiculous. He grabs and holds, and it's frustrating to watch him fight like that.
Nacho, I've said this for at least 10 years. Clinching is against the rules. In basketball, they call it traveling sometimes. In football, if you have a false start, they don't let you false start 50 times before they take away 5 yards. If there's one thing I would change from a officiating perspective, start enforcing that rule and fights will get better. Bottom line, it's really that simple.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
All right, Nacho.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you for the call. We have one open phone line, 347-215-7598. Gabe?
Let's see. In the 646, you're live on the next round. 646.
Hey, guys. Steven, how's it going?
This good. What's going on?
Good.
Good. What's
just
going
a quick question. Are you guys going to be in the Mayweather fight? You guys got the credentials or no?
No. I'm Couch City USA. I'm going to Casa de Mr. Boxing Guru. We're having a big shindig there.
You know, I find that very shameful that they wouldn't allow, you know, reporters who will maybe don't share their views. You know, I don't know where do they think they are. Do they think they're in communist China or Russia? Or...
No, we're in Haymanville. We're in Haymanville. But that's the issue, though, that the game that they want to play is that they want to scrub the coverage clean. And if you are an enemy of the state, you are forced to make a decision. Either play the game or keep your First Amendment rights and risk not going to fights. I'm good with not going to fights. I really am. I've been to plenty of fights. There's other events I could cover. And I'd rather just have the ability to give my opinion and to do my job. And so, like, will there be a fight as big as Pacquiao, Mayweather? Maybe, maybe not. But you know what? I could live with the fact that, guess what? I'm still going to cover the beat. I'm still going to say what I want. And now, guess what? I plan on having a really good time on Saturday, if you know what I mean.
No, definitely, guys. Sorry to hear that. But, you know, other people got to step up. Bob Arum is part of the promotion. You know, you cannot just blame it on them only. You know what I mean?
Well, on some level, too, though, you know, when it's that big of a deal to them that they want to limit you and harangue you, it ceases to be fun. And I think, I don't know about Steve, but, like, you know, part of the job should be fun. You should, you know, we love boxing. That's why we cover it. And it's a privilege to end up, you know, making money actually doing that. But it's also a private event. And so, you know, they can decide whether or not we're worthy of coming to their private event. It sucks. I agree with you. I think the sport, you know, needs more checks and balances, but that's not the sport.
Yeah.
Sad.
Cool.
So, Domingo, how are you watching the fight then?
I'm either going to have a little get-together at home or I'm going to go to somebody else's house and watch the fight. Essentially.
Yeah, I just wonder, though, with this Gordon Gekko-like approach to this promotion. And Gabe, you were the first guy that ever brought up the $100 price tag, and I said, what? And I must have been more naive than ever. I wonder if they're actually going to drive the number of potential buys down. I think people were willing to do 75 to 80. There's something about that $100 threshold where people start saying, you know what, we got to split the cost here.
Yeah. Well, I live in a different kind of city. I mean, everybody here is pretty well off, and the people that I've kind of sample sized, like, this fight is really like crossed over. Like, the people that I've seen that bring up the fight without me even bringing it up, you would never think would be into a fight. Like, I'm probably going to like a Burning Man camp party that has the fight going on. That tells you how far out it is. But people here seem to be dropping the money, but the general theme is party, though. So maybe not, you know. I mean, yeah, that might have having a lot of parties and probably losing money, because I hear they're gouging people on the bars. So I'm wondering,
yes,
if anybody's really gonna shell out for that. So I'm curious to see where this lands. We haven't really done an over under for how well do you think this fight sells? Over under 3 million.
I think it does. Boy, I don't know. I think it does right around 3. That's my opinion. I just think it's so big. It's too big to fail, almost, Gabe.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 2.5.
Ooh, wow.
A solid,
okay.
2.5. Yeah.
Domingo, we got to get going, okay?
Take it easy, guys.
Here's a tweet from our good friend Tyrone Johnson. I'm picking Pacquiao to win the fight, 7-5 on the cards. Style plus bad karma takes down Floyd and TMT. Gabe?
From your tweet to God's ears. I kind of look at it and you go, wow, if Memo and Ariza and, you know, just Floyd and his long history of women, you know, beating, serial, you know, domestic violence, Ellerbe just being a tool in general, all those things, and Floyd Sr. with his accusations and, you know, Roger seems like a good enough guy. But it just seems like Kelly Swanson, how rude she is to people on a regular basis. All the bad karma seems to be on their side. And Manny, you know, maybe I'm just a homer, but he just seems to be like a guy that has let a lot of things go, kind of became self-aware. They had the opposite journey, like spiritually. It seems like, you know, with Pacquiao, yeah, he was a womanizing guy. I've heard that. He's a partier. But all of a sudden, he kind of stripped it all away. I don't even really hear the thing about distractions anymore. He seems like he's figured out how to really manage his life if he, you know, ever really didn't have control of that. I'm very curious to see how that plays in. But Floyd is all about chaos, and Manny seems to be kind of at ease and a little bit of order. I wonder how that plays out in the fight, if at all.
347-215-7598. We have at least 8 minutes. And judging by the way our phone lines are blown up, we'll probably go all the way to 6 o'clock Pacific. Gabe?
619, you're live on the next round. 619?
Hey, how you doing, Gabe? How you doing, Steve? It's Juan from San Diego. How you guys doing?
Juan, welcome aboard.
I just wanted to give out my 2 cents on the fight. I, from the beginning, ever since this whole thing started 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I don't remember when, I always thought Manny has the style to bother Floyd, and I'm sticking to it. I think his lateral movement, his foot speed, his left hand, he's going to be able to exploit some of the weaknesses Floyd has. Floyd tends to counterattack with that right hand, and then leaves himself open for a little, like a millisecond. No fighter has been able to counter him because he's so fast, but I think Manny has the speed to do that, and I'm pretty sure Freddie knows about this. He's seen tape. I don't know. I just feel that Manny's style will be a little bit too much for Floyd this time around, and he'll outpoint him. I don't think he'll knock him out, but he'll outpoint him like 8-4, 9-3. I think it's going to be an easy fight for Manny. And
whoa. Did you just say easy? Really? Easy?
Yeah. I always thought that Manny's going to just move in and out, and Floyd's old legs are going to show up. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. Many people say I'm crazy, but that's what I think. I do think he's going to make it easier than people think. That's my opinion.
You know what? You are a man. You are a man of conviction, and you are now on the record.
I know.
People are getting up.
You might be onto something with that right hand, though, you know, because I was watching today, you know, different videos on YouTube, different tape, different fights, and that right hand, Floyd has a tendency to kind of pull back, and, you know, fanatics really love that move. But, you know, it reminds me of Hopkins Trinidad, and, you know, the way Tito would kind of peek out of his guard, kind of lean forward and peek out behind his left hook, looking to kind of open it up, you know, put his head out there. And the first round, he did that, and Hopkins just clocks him with the right hand. And just every time he would do it, Hopkins would be there with the right hand. If Manny, when he sees Floyd pull back, just shoots to the throat or to the chest or the solar plexus with that left hand, it's going to be money for him early on. And as long as he accounts for the left hook, if he gets that move off, then it's going to be up to Floyd to make the first adjustment. That's hell of a key to victory right there.
And just think about it, Gabriel. Everybody's underestimating Manny because they see him lose. They haven't seen Floyd lose. But look at his opposition. Look at Maidana. Maidana's slow. He was hitting him. Mosley was hitting him. Just think about the pattern here. People have been hitting Floyd, and they're not Manny. And Manny is tougher than people think. When you actually stand in front of him, he's something very difficult too.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
I've already seen Mayweather lose. His name is Jose Luis Castillo.
Yeah, I agree with you. I saw that fight 8-4, and I still see it 8-4. I don't care what they say, 48-0, 48 and asterisks, whatever you want to call it. Now, the second thing, I do agree with Gabe on the $2.5 million. I think they're missing on an opportunity. I told you that before in another call. And me, myself, I don't think $100. No fight is worth $100. If I'm going to pay $100, I might as well be in the building.
Exactly.
I think the part. Yeah, I want to be in the building for $100. And
what's amazing? You could have got two really good tickets to Provodnikov Matisse inside the arena for the cost of the pay per view this weekend. Just think about that.
Yeah, and I'm in San Diego. Thank you, Al Heyman, or whatever. But finally, another thing, Gabe, you were saying that on the PBC, you were surprised on how those guys aren't playing at a good effort. That's what I was thinking from the first PBC card. That, like Broner, if you're on at that stage, why wouldn't you want to impress the public? Why wouldn't you go all out and be Sugar Ray Leonard, use your skills, your speed? Why play it safe and say, I'm not fighting for the audience. I'm fighting for me. Dude, you know how that sounds? That sounds like I'm not paying a single dime for you again. You see? So I don't get it. Paying so much money to those guys are just making them fight like that. And I don't think that's going to last if they keep fighting like that. So
that's
how I
got
that. All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Thurman Guerrero is the most up-tempo of all the PBC fights, wouldn't you say?
It had three good rounds out of 12. That's funniest thing when Kenny Rice said, this is one of the great welterweight fights in recent memory. I was like, yeah, if that recent memory is 45 minutes in. I mean,
recent memory, like maybe he's not watching a lot of fights.
Here's a tweet from Evan Young at Boxing Forecast, a guy I really respect a lot in terms of his opinion, ability to prognosticate fights. I'm going with Pacquiao. He can do what Maidana did, but much better. Pac's volume, speed, and underrated skills carry the day. Evan, you are on the record. Gabe, let's get back to the phone lines.
Man, that's going to make me go all John Kerry. 347, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Mike from Queens.
Mike,
up,
welcome aboard.
Yeah, Gabe, I actually tweeted you earlier today about the Don Hale thing on the Mayweather episode on Saturday. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
Yeah, I did. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's
kind of a trip,
like,
right?
Yeah, and no one else is saying it. Like, I'm a guy who's just a fan, and I know this guy, Don Hale. I've looked into his history. Like, how is no other media member but you and Steve call Floyd out on this? Like, how is that possible?
You know what's interesting? Gabe, before you wrote about what he did in terms of the HGH therapy and all that stuff, I wrote about him in the lead-up to, I believe, the Hatton fight. And people were outraged that I was insinuating that, oh, my God, Floyd was actually raised with the white family. And I'm like, yeah, it's the truth. That the Floyd is not like this Horatio Alger story. He's been very privileged in a lot of ways. And that's where I think it's part of the con job of Floyd, that when he tells African Americans, I'm just like you, I grew up, you grew up with Air Jordans. That's the God's honest truth. You knew where your next meal was coming from because you were a prodigy. And that's all been part of this hustle, this narrative that Floyd Mayweather has really fooled on the sheeple. And yes, I said sheeple.
Yeah,
and you know,
it's just like they're not even hiding it anymore. You know what I mean? Like, you'd think, and it's kind of insulting that they're like, oh, we'll put them on. It's not like anybody's going to question it. You know what I mean? It's really crazy.
It kind of actually goes back to it goes back to something I said at the top of the show, that liars have a tendency to just give you a fraction of the truth. They give you a little bit of truth so that they can hide the whole truth. And it's interesting that on Mayweather's produced show on Showtime, the one that's more focused on him, that he everything goes through him, according to Leonard and sources, that he would try to rewrite a bit of Don Hale's history. Because here's the thing, you know, I was actually remiss in my article on about connecting them. When Floyd said to me, I've even been to his clinics, the hair replacement center, he kind of smiled at me like, yeah, you thought I was going to say hormone replacement therapy, which is what Don changed the name to. But if you look at the lawsuits, when they got shut down, they were still under the hair replacement center, the name. That was the original business. They just changed the label. So Floyd implicated himself with this company that was shut down for giving out illegal scripts, apparently, according to one of my sources at the Attorney General's there in Tennessee, of HGH and testosterone. Yeah, why isn't this a bigger story? Everybody looks at me. It's easy to call me, you know, that a-hole Montoya who's always ranting about PEDs and BADA. It's easy to make fun of me. Absolutely. You know, is he a doorman or an actor? But the facts speak for themselves. You know?
Yeah.
Just
what about
the facts speak for themselves.
Yeah, what about Floyd's assistant all of a sudden becoming a guy who works, has his own therapy place or something? Did you see that where Floyd goes into some ice-cold therapy session at 3
a.m.? Hey, Mike. It's like EPMD. He's got the chill.
Yeah, but it's like, I'm a Yankee fan.
I had to drop that in there. I'm sorry. I was a big fan of EPMD. Yeah. They were good. Their first two albums were outstanding, guys. It really was.
Yeah, classic. But I'm just saying, I'm a Yankee fan, and if A-Rod just became some heel, just can you not do heel on the side? People would be like, what the fuck's going on here, you know? Or he grew up with a guy who was an HGH seller. Like, what the? Like,
Mike, how are you watching the fight on Saturday? Are you with a group of people? Are you chipping in, or what?
Well, I'm going to the bar. I have every fight, every big boxing fight, I go to a bar and that has it. So, but you have to pay like $25 to get in. But it's worth it. It's a real good time.
You know what? That's not bad. I heard in Vegas, a place like Blondie's is charging $200 to stand up, $300 to actually sit at a table. Now, in the city of Las Vegas, at that price, you better be getting a little bit more than just a big screen and a pitcher of beer. Okay.
Yeah, especially in Vegas. Certain things are
legal.
Right.
I need at least one chance. Just one.
Yeah. Mike, we got to get running, okay?
All right. Just one more thing, guys. What do you think about the PBC, John Molina, never was USADA tested? Another thing.
another lie, another misrepresentation from Al Heyman's group. I'm shocked. I'm shocked, Mr. Montoya.
Yeah, it's just insane.
It's insane. I mean, the people that I talked to, you know, at least those first few cards weren't getting tested. I don't know about now. That's why I've always talked about transparency. What is this? I mean, if we already know you're testing this organization. Why do you have to be all shadowy with the rest of, you know, the information with everybody? We'll see how it goes. I'll tell you this. I'm looking forward to May 1st. I'm told that there's going to be a significant report out that regarding in the PED world. I'm told it's May 1st. It's going to be a big story heading into – it's going to be to shine a light on a lot of stuff, and I think very, very interesting in light of the fight and all that. We'll see.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, Mike, we got to get running, okay?
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
347-215-7598. We have up to 26 minutes remaining on the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenas. This show is brought to you, sponsored in part by Iron Gym at 14548 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California. That number, to the Iron Gym, 818-322-4627. Gabe?
We have plenty of calls here. You know, just the last thing on the Don Hale, they opened the door. Now you can ask about him because they put him on their show. It wasn't like HBO brought it up. People need to ask about it. They need to look at all, a lot of the stuff is online, you know, the lawsuits and all that. So you can gather the information. Go ask Don about it. He'll be at the fight. 510, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, Gabe? What's up, Steve? This is a friend over in Richmond. How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
Hey, well, first, my prediction. I got Manny by with an early knockdown and winning by split decision.
Okay, you're on the record.
All right.
Well, I got Manny getting an early knockdown in the fight, kind of changing the whole fight and winning by split decision.
Sweet.
I think you know, like, Floyd, he's a boxing genius, dude, and that's probably the main reason he's avoided Manny, because he knows Manny can beat him. I mean, that's what more proof does anybody need? And as far as the fight goes, I know a lot of people are kind of poo-pooing it, it's 5 years too late or whatever, but I think it really compares favorably to Manny versus Marquez number 3 or Morales against Barrera number 3. It's going to be like a high-level, intense boxing. I think it's going to be really good.
You know, ironically, the fact that both guys that are a little bit past their prime, usually that makes for better offensive fights. Now, the other question I have, how are you watching the fight? I'm curious. Are you watching with a group of people, or are you perching this for yourself?
Well, I got a huge family, man, and my aunt and uncle are having their 50th anniversary. So my cousin's going to have the fight at his house. So that's too many people, right? Too many, like my little nephews, my little nieces. I don't want to watch it with them. Or I could go over to my uncle's house. He's hardcore, man. He's going to watch it by himself. I could watch it with him. I think I'm going to go watch it with one of my other cousins. So it's going to be in a party. We're gonna, just me and my cousin about my age and stuff. We're just going to have a party.
All right. But regardless of where you watch it, you will at least chip in a 12-pack of Corona, right?
Oh, yeah. Or my cousin's watching.
Okay. You're a gentleman. You're a gentleman. That's a class act. You're a class act.
Hey, and one last thing, man. Hey, Gabe, dude, you're invited, man, for the war fight. We're going to tailgate it, dude. So if you want to come out, man, just come hang out.
Yeah, because that'll lead you to drinking, Gabe.
What's that? I'm welcome to come hang out for the fight. Oh.
For the war fight, man, you're welcome. Hey, well, if you decide, you know, free barbecue, free chela,
right.
You know, go hang out, man. Talk to boxing. You're invited. You got my phone number, obviously. So.
Hey, you know what I would do?
Let me know.
I would actually, hold on, since that's on June 20th, I would actually go to your tailgate and then watch the other fights on TV like HBO. That'd be my plan, Gabe, if I lived in the Bay Area.
I like that plan.
You don't get
Wi-Fi
at the Coliseum,
though, man. We don't get Wi-Fi at the Coliseum, man. It's kind of low budget right there, man. Sorry.
All right, well, listen, thank you for the call, and Gabe will keep that in mind. We'll see what his itinerary is for the afternoon and the late evening of June 20th. Gabe, who's next?
This one's a blocked call, but let's see what happens. You're live on the next round. Yeah, I guess you're not blocking well enough. You're a knockdown. 724,
yes.
You're live on the next round.
No, I'm just listening, guys.
Okay.
Oh, better. Cool. 951, you're live on the next round. 951.
Ooh, another knockdown.
Damn it. 716, you're live on the next round. 716. Anything? Going once, going twice, 716? 843, you're live on the next round. 843.
We got a lot of listeners here.
We do. They're enthralled, Steve. 610, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
Good,
hey,
who is
what's
this?
Up?
Yeah, this is Steve, the musician from the East Coast. Gabe, it's been a while.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
How you feeling, man? I do catch you guys every week, though, regardless, but I'm usually, like, in the car or something like that. Okay, right in on it. My pick, I got to agree with Gabe. The only difference is I think it's going to be a really easy fight. I just think that Floyd has timing. I think timing normally beats speed, and I think timing with accuracy and speed thrown in really beats speed. And I just see Manny making too many mistakes. He gets hit a lot. straight right. So that's pretty much it for my prediction. I don't think – I mean, a lot of people have been talking about Mayweather's been hand-picking, but they've both been hand-picking. I mean, Rios, Algeri, I see that as hand-picking also, especially Algeri. And I don't think Algeri prepares him for this fight. The other thing is that as far as, like, people who've troubled Floyd, recently I've seen guys with an inside game trouble Floyd. Maidana, Cotto was trying to rough him up, even going back to Castillo. You know, I see those fights as the fights that were troubling Floyd the most, and I don't see Manny as having an inside game at all. I mean, not in the least. So I don't see those two things.
He's
but,
not comfortable there.
Yeah. Going back to some of the other things you said, did you see the thing where Morris and Santa Cruz were on a radio show, and Morris was going off on Santa Cruz saying, you know, quit fronting, we both have the same manager, quit making excuses, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you heard that.
I didn't hear it.
Whoa, Heyman on Heyman strife. Does Uncle Al know about this?
Huh. I don't know, but Morris was saying that you're making a lot of excuses about your manager this, your manager that. It was in Spanish, you know, but you know, you need to quit making those excuses because I have the same manager. And, you know, it was really, really interesting. It's on YouTube anyway if you look it up.
There was a time a couple years ago I really looked forward to that fight. I'll be honest. Right now, I don't have a lot of passion to see that one way or the other.
Because of Morris or because of Santa Cruz?
Both. Morris, he hasn't exactly been inspiring last three fights. I thought he looked like just very ordinary on March 7th at the MGM Grand.
That's true. But I do think Morris is fighting better competition.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I just think if I'm Leo, when I want to make a statement, I look at Morris and the way he's been looking, and I go, wow, he may be teetering. You know, maybe tough, but you should be wanting to go push him off a cliff, not making excuses. I don't get
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And Lomachenko, I mean, yeah, he's not fighting a tough fight anyway, but he has been in some tough fights recently, so I'll give him a pass. You know, I mean, for me, he's proven himself.
The bottom line is this undercard is it's not exactly revenge, the rematches, and they just have to fill a couple of hours, wait for the – if there's a game seven between the Spurs and the Clippers, let that run out, and then the fight begins. Listen, when you're paying – reportedly up to $300 million for the main event, they were not going to spend a lot on the undercard. That's just the reality of this business.
Right. The undercard is terrible, no doubt. But there's been so much boxing on TV. You know, I mean, even with some of the bad bouts here and there, I'm happy, man. I don't know. I've been almost overloaded. I'm a big boxing fan going way back to the 60s. And I haven't seen as much boxing recently in a long, long time.
Yeah.
No, it's an interesting time.
Okay, you guys do a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you very much. If you want to call in, we have about another 18 minutes. 347-215-7598. Gabe, taking a look at the fight preview, there is boxing outside Mayweather-Pacquiao. Thursday night on ESPN2, Ishae Smith takes on Cecil McCollough. Then on Fox Sports 1, a little bit later in the night, Mercito Hesta takes on Carlos Molina. And then the debut of Top Rank's True TV's boxing series, Tak Ao takes on Raymond Beltran. Gabe, out of these fights, clearly for me, Hesta Molina is the one fight I'm looking forward to.
I like Mercito Hesta and where he's headed right now. You know, I got a chance to see him up here, and he looked like a little more technically aware, just more defensively, you know, sound. But the offensive, he was pushing things, you know, but in the right direction, breaking down his guys. I like that fight a lot, man. I think, you know, AO Beltran, that could be action. I think people could be throwing some leather and catching a lot of leather in that fight. But it feels like a distance fight to me.
Yeah, and by the way, I think for Carlos Molina, if he wants to make anything out of his career, I mean, he's gotten some big opportunities against much bigger guys like Amir Khan, Adrian Broner. He really should be a lightweight. Discipline has been a problem. If he wants to be a guy that can make a living at this game, make a little money, or just be a journeyman, I think this is a must-win situation for Mr. Molina. Gabe, let's go to the calls.
All right. 310, you're live on the next round.
Steve.
1-0?
Yes, no, who is Steve. That? Oh, we heard somebody. Who is that?
Oh, Steve, this is Gary from Reno.
Gary, welcome aboard.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, I just have to disagree with you on that last Pacquiao-Marquez fight. I do not think that that was a low-hanging curveball and that that was a Marquez one-sided fight. If you remember in that fight, right from the beginning, Marquez made Pacquiao very uncomfortable, and he even knocked him down. Not just knocked him down, knocked him flat on his back. And he was very hurt. When Pacquiao gets hurt like that, he just puts the pedal to the metal, and he just went off on Marquez. And Marquez weathered the storm, and as soon as he slowed down for a minute, he knocked him out cold. That is not a low-hanging, you know, curveball.
Well, we'll have to disagree. I thought he was hitting Marquez. Well, thanks. Excuse me. Let me have my say here, okay?
Okay.
It's my opinion. You can have yours. What I saw that particular night was Manny Pacquiao hitting Marquez more than at any time since the first round of the first fight. Because I thought the other fights he had a lot of problems putting punches together against him, and he got hit with the perfect
shot. I agree with that.
That's all I'm saying.
I know. I do agree that he was doing very well, but I think he was in trouble, and he just went all out. He just aired it out. I think he was desperate and knew that this was going to be a hard fight, and he had to do something. When Pacquiao goes off like that, it's very hard to defend, but Marquez weathered that. And he, you know, just – but for another thing that ties into some other stuff you guys were talking about, it was very obvious that Marquez was a very different person in those last two fights. Like, all of a sudden, he's coming in with an Iron Man suit. His body is completely changed. And, you know, he has Memo Heredia in his, in, you know, as a strength and conditioning coach. And we all know about him. And, you know, why would any fighter – there's a lot of good strength and conditioning coaches out there. For what reason would any fighter want to get that guy and take that kind of questioning and that heat from a guy who's got a history like that?
That's a great question. I wish some of the people that had access to Floyd Mayweather would ask him.
Well, another thing is what also is a little bit disconcerting is I don't see any questions raised on the other side. I don't hear, you know, Roach or Fortune or any of those guys saying anything about that. The only thing I hear is maybe from Fortune is that he's a very smart guy, Memo.
Well,
but
what
does that mean?
What do you think it means?
You know, what I think it means is that Freddie's getting sued by Alex Ariza.
I think Justin Fortune sued him as well.
That's what I was just going to say. And Freddie actually kind of was speaking out of turn when he spoke about Justin and that he didn't have any positive drug tests. And it was wrong what he said. And then he spoke about Ariza in the interview with Radio Raheem, talking about, you know, he didn't know what was in the shakes and Alex wouldn't tell him what was in the shakes. And that's got him slapped with another lawsuit. So when somebody comes around and asks, what do you think about Memo Heredia? I think the smart answer, if I'm Freddie Roach and Justin Fortune, is he's a really smart guy. Just leave it at that.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It's very public record about his record, and that, you know, the documentary is on there. Referencing the documentary that was on YouTube, you cannot be sued
for
that.
That's
out there. Yeah, you don't have to. But also,
Freddie doesn't need to say anything.
Well, I think that it's that should be brought up. If a guy is using his job is also both of them is protect their fighter. And when you have a guy like Memo on the other side,
I mean, with all respect to
there's drug testing that they know exactly how to pass. And, you know, the Mayweathers also, that camp has had several guys that have been busted for drugs. And not even just a little bit. G. Leon Love was busted. Nikki Bay had a testosterone to epitestosterone test of 33-1. And if you guys
ever, by the way.
I think that's the highest ever recorded.
Well,
and these guys don't know anything about steroids.
I know a little something about it, but
No, no, I know you do. I'm just saying both camps basically are very acting very ignorant about the drugs. Like,
I wouldn't say that they're ignorant. I wouldn't say that they're ignorant.
They're acting like,
I mean,
when Leonard Ellerbe says he doesn't know who Memo is, that's just not true.
Right.
You know,
no,
I don't.
We talked about that earlier on the show. I think that that's, I mean, he's Badu Jack's strength coach. He goes
exactly
to the Mayweather gym. Yeah, it's all BS. But
nobody knows
on
him.
It's incumbent on the press to keep hammering those things. It's not really on Freddie to do it. I mean, he got his guy drug testing. He got, you know, they've done VADA testing the last couple of fights. That protected them. They got Rios. You know, they've been you know, being a little more hardline about it now that we have more education on the subject. But I agree with you. I, you know, Memo, people need to be calling him on stuff. He's had a long list. Steve and I have pointed this out. We were the ones that initially, you know, after Victor Conte pointed it out on Twitter, Steve and I both wrote stories about it. Steve tried to interview him, I think one of the first guys to. Memo was all shady about it. We've had the spotlight on him, you know, as we should this whole time. I don't know if that's necessarily Freddie's job. And like I said, the guy's getting hit with lawsuits. At some point, you need to start watching what you say. You know?
You do.
Anyway,
to watch with.
Thanks for the call. We got to get going. And another thing is, Gabe, I don't want my fighter hearing over and over, oh, my God, this guy's radioactive. He's so powerful and strong.
I agree.
You know, psychologically, I don't want my fighter hearing that. This
exactly.
game is very mental.
Yeah, I think Freddie's a pro, and he's been through this whole maelstrom like few people have. I kind of just trust him. When I saw that, you know, and I had a conversation with somebody about it. Like, what does that mean? You know, he's a smart guy. All right, that's just a dude going, yeah, nice day outside, isn't it? Like, he just doesn't – it's just, you know, the laser focus that they've had, this whole camp of not dealing with other fighters and only focusing on one, it's just reflective of that. We got two more calls here. 570, you're live on the next round.
Hello.
I guess you're not.
Or not.
517, you're live on the next round.
Oh, what's going on, Gabe, Steve? LaMarcus here.
Oh, LaMarcus, yes. We're going to call you the midnight runner. You always come in late, man. Always.
Hey, I'm in class. I keep telling you, man. You got a class and I call up. So.
Hey, by the way, I heard you told me you had a great one iota experience at the PBC fights.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good time, man. It was a good time, man. For real, they had us out on the floor and everything. We were the people, and when the fighters would come out, we were the people that would tunnel the fighters and you know, tap gloves.
Did they tell you that, now, LaMarcus? Did they give you specific instructions on how to cheer, when to cheer, where to sit, and all that other stuff?
Well, yeah, they had like in the corner of the arena is where their sitting area was at. But yeah, our main focus was to be out there in that area between the seats and the ramp to make the atmosphere look even more full. They didn't want the cameras to see the empty space behind the seats and the ramp. Well, not empty seats, empty area. It was an empty area.
Now, did they
have
signs that said applause or laugh or cheer?
No,
did they give you like that, like a sitcom?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. But they did tell us, okay, you know, we want you to be out here applauding and whatever, cheering, whatever. They did say that. And right now we want you behind, you know, where the lady was doing the talking with Kazagi and all that. They wanted us behind her cheering, and they wanted us in certain areas at certain times, but there was no signs or anything like that. You know, the real thing was, you know, to be as loud as you can and don't grab the fighter's booty. That's pretty much all they told us. So.
Well, now, are there any other rules in relationship with one iota in going to these events?
No, not really. I mean, it's just, like I said, it was just be there, cheer. You know, they want us to be on the floor, but if we need a break, sit down, we had chairs. We had seats. So,
and did they at least give you a free hot dog or popcorn, nachos?
They gave us water, and then they paid for our parking too. So.
Oh, well, you know what? That's not bad then. It's not bad. They don't even pay for a beer. Oh, okay. Huh. Well, LaMarcus, I have a feeling with Arizlande Lara headlining the July 12th Spike card or whatever, or June 12th, you'll be going back there to One Iota.
Wait, are they going to be in Chicago? Where are they going to be at?
They're going to be in Chicago,
I might
yeah.
do it. I might do it, yeah.
And, you, Gabe, you know what's funny? Algeri Khan, they announced the fight about, what, 10, 14 days ago? They put the tickets on sale about a week ago, and it's already One Iota for that fight. So they're not even trying to sell tickets for that event.
They're just,
I wish I was close, I'd be there too.
So, LaMarcus, how are you watching the fight this weekend?
Man, I'm getting my Michael Rapaport on. I'm going to be in, at home in my own zone because all my friends are floatiots, and so I don't want to hear none of that. I'm going to be in my own zone, man.
LaMarcus, you are so focused and so zoned in, and you're going to be so intense on this, you don't want any tomfoolery. You just kind of want to be by yourself.
Pretty much. Well, I'm gonna have my goddaughters with me, so I mean, I have, to, but you know, they're on Team Pacquiao, so you know, it'll be good. And plus, you know, when I go to other people's houses, you know, they want to turn your music on during the interviews and stuff like that. You know, I'm one of those that want to hear all that. So
yeah,
you know,
LaMarcus, I knew you were thinking about going to this trip, and I've seen you all across the country at various fights of different levels. As a boxing consumer, how did you feel about the way this promotion was handled?
I absolutely hated it, man. You know I want to be out there. You know I want to be out there. I'm going to so many Pacquiao fights, man. And they said I tried to go to one Floyd fight, and I ended up on the outside of that, too. So, and I was out in Vegas. So I said for this time, if I don't get something put down, I won't be there. I'm not wasting my time again. So, yeah, I was really disappointed. I mean, just – it looks ignorant the way that they put everything together and tickets and all these people making hundreds of dollars on a $10 ticket for a weigh-in. I mean, it's crazy, man.
You have to be awfully naive, guys, if you really think every single $10 weigh-in ticket was actually available to the public. There's no doubt in my mind a very small percentage were released. The others were all brokered out.
Probably
no doubt.
Right. I believe that. But – you know who I am, so you know I'm going Pacquiao all day, man. I'm going on for the stoppage, man. Call me a nut.
Whoa.
Call me what you want, but I'm going for the stoppage, man.
You know, I will say one thing. If that happens, LaMarcus, we will clear the phone lines for you for the last 10 minutes. You just riff for 10 minutes, man. It's all you. All you, LaMarcus.
I'll be glowing like
I don't care what class you have. I don't care what you're working on. I don't care if it's leg day. For 10 minutes, LaMarcus, it's all you.
I appreciate it.
All right, LaMarcus, have a great time this weekend, okay?
All right, thanks. You too.
All right, well, Gabe, that's it. We have done the Pacquiao Mayweather preview show. It's in
that
the book.
That is crazy. Let me throw this one last thing in. Somebody in the industry sent me this Washington Post article about the fight, asking how clean will the fight be? It talks about the testing. And they bring up that old rumor of Floyd Mayweather, you know, having an AIDS sample positive and USADA covering it up. And it's interesting. If I was Travis Tygart and I ran USADA and somebody asked me about that, I'd say that's absolutely preposterous. There's no way that happened if that didn't happen. What they have here is a parenthetical response from him that is just a paraphrase, and it says, Tygart said he's not aware of Mayweather ever testing positive in a USADA-administered test. That's not the same as saying it never happened. So just thought I'd throw that in there on our you know, this glorious final Pacquiao preview show. Steve, it was everything I hoped it would be.
Yeah, so there it is. It's in the books. I hope everyone has a good time. Stay safe there on Saturday. Pacquiao Mayweather from the MGM Grand. It finally happened. So on behalf of Gabriel Montoya and the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network, this is Steve Kim saying till the next round, goodbye, everybody.